So I volunteered to take over Dean's class again. I'm very honored and I'm very excited. And yeah, he asked when we had that men's breakfast, he asked if somebody was willing to take it over, and I jumped right on it again. I was ready. I was excited. So today we're going to be studying Galatians chapter 5. And let's just jump right into it. We're going to get the theme of Galatians 5 right from the beginning verse here. And we're going to read the first three verses. If I could have somebody volunteer and Dylan.
First three.
I want Galatians 5 verses 1 through 3.
Okay. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I Paul, say to you that if you become uncircumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law.
Thank you. Just by the way, I am going to be running the questions I'm asking you, I'm running off the sheet that he has printed off, which if you guys need them, they are on the back podium. So his first question here is going off verse 1, and it asks, there's two parts to this. It asks, according to the verse 1, why did Christ set us free? And then it asks, what is Paul's point here? So why did Christ set us free? What does it say?
Freedom.
For freedom. And I think, Dylan, what did your Bible say?
Stand fast in liberty. Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Okay. So his Bible says liberty, freedom. He set us free for freedom.
Oh, it's just freedom from the law. It's
Yes.
freedom from being slaves from the law, the old law.
Yes. So right there in verse 1, we have our theme for Galatians 5. That is his whole purpose in this chapter here, as we dive more and more into it. The Galatians were having this issue of they thought by law they are saved and by law they have righteousness. And question, what law are we talking about? The law of Moses. They believe that through the law of Moses, they are saved. But right then in the first verse, Paul tells them that is not the case. Paul is saying that freedom itself is the purpose. That Jesus did not set us free just to put us under a different kind of bondage, but his goal was to liberate the people from the oppression of trying to earn righteousness through the law and bring them into a new life led by spirit, grounded in grace and love. So, I've got some points here. So, why Christ set us free? One, to experience real freedom. Two, to live in relationship and not regulation instead of having just a checklist of rules. It's about walking with God through the Spirit. And three is to empower us to love and serve, which we'll dive deeper into that in Galatians and later in this chapter. It'll be verse 13 that we dive more into that. But though that's why Christ set us free. So let's move on to the second point of that question is what was Paul's point here? We kind of touched on that already. What was Paul's point here?
Was it because if you accept one, you have to accept all of the law? You can't pick and choose. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'll do this, and then I'll do this, or I'll do this, and I'll do this. It wants you to, if you're going to commit, you need to commit to it all. And follow, maybe.
Yeah, he was. Yes, Paul's point was you can't serve both. Dylan?
Well, he says that Christ has made us free and not to take up a yoke of bondage with the law. And as Christians were saying, they're trying to keep one part of the law and, he's saying, Christ has made you free. You don't want that. Because if you choose to live under one part of the law, you're guilty, if you fail one offense. So.
Absolutely. And that actually segues us into, I'm combining question one and two here, because then question two goes into what is Paul referring to in the yoke of bondage or yoke of slavery, whatever your Bible says. And we've kind of set the tone up for that, is that yoke of slavery was the law. That's what was holding them back, holding them back in their faith. So Paul's point, you guys were hitting it there. He's saying that you've already been liberated by Christ. So this freedom isn't just a concept. It's a real spiritual condition. You're no longer bound by the law as a means of salvation. And then moving into that yoke of slavery there, in the second part of the verse there, he says, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And the yoke of slavery for them was... what was their yoke of slavery?
The old law.
The old law. So the old law was their yoke of slavery. I just have a question for you guys today. What is our yoke of slavery?
Sin.
Sin. Our yoke of slavery could be anything and everything that pulls us away from Christ. Just like the law pulled them away from Christ. Whatever that may be for you, whatever pulls you away, that is your yoke of slavery. But Christ has set us free, and we don't need to worry about that bondage anymore. And well, I had a thought, and now it left me. So I'm going to move on to question four now. So we've really hit the theme of Galatians, and this is, he's just going to keep kind of repeating himself over in this chapter of, it's not by law, it's by faith. And later on, he is going to call them out for, they did start off pretty strong with their faith, but then these false teachers came in and started teaching them. Jews started telling them that it was the law, and he ends up calling them out later on, going like, well, what happened? So we'll dive into that. That's a little later in the chapter. But question four here, actually, we're going to need to read verses. Can I have somebody read verses 4 through 6 for me?
You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love.
Paul is really calling out the Galatians in this chapter. He starts off pretty strong here in verse 4. He just says it right off the bat. You have been severed from Christ. And that kind of answers question 4 there, is what has happened to those who are seeking to be justified by the law? What happened to them? They are
severed
from Christ. And Paul just says it clearly. And he's not holding back while he's talking to his Galatians about it, because they know what they need to do, and they're just not doing it. So Paul clearly says that they are severed, that we aren't and can't be justified by law. And if we think that we can and try, we will truly be severed from him. I mean, today, for us, it's not, law's not that, the Mosaic law's not that big of an issue for Christians nowadays. What it more of an issue is that the false teachings that are out there, the false teachers that are leading people astray. I mean, the law, the Jewish religion still follows the law. But for some of us, I know I have friends that have fallen away due to false doctrine, due to false teachings. People now sometimes go to churches not for what is being taught, but for how funny is that preacher? Or how entertaining is it? I need to be entertained. So I could be standing up here entertaining you guys, being a comedian, being funny. You guys could be laughing, but I could be teaching something completely wrong. So for them back then, it was the law. And you're going to notice this for a lot of questions. I'm going to try to bring it back to the real world here, to our day and age here. When studying this, I realized that I need to put myself kind of like in that realm of the Galatians. And when you're studying Bible, well, sometimes you need to put yourself back then to understand kind of what's going on here. But there are lessons that we can still learn from this that we may not be struggling with the same issues that they were back then, but we have new issues now nowadays that can pull us away from God, that can pull us away from Christ. So you're going to notice that I'm going to try to bring up some more, bring up some examples from our life that can pull us away. Carol?
It's in the contrast here, he's talking about the Old Testament, but we still have the same problem with law. Trying people, you can try and justify yourself by saying, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, following the law, when you're missing the heart, missing the love of God in your life. And so we can trip ourselves up just as easily with a different law.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And that goes into the whole, oh, I'm saved by good works, you know, I'm following the law, I'm doing good. All that. Paul touches on that later in this chapter too, that yeah, good works doesn't just save you either. It's your faith. It's your faith that's going to save you, and the grace by God. So part two to question four is, what common teaching regarding salvation does this passage clearly refute?
Circumcised and uncircumcised?
Yes.
But you don't have to do either of those if there's really no value in it. He wants you to work under faith and love, and that's the works that will save you.
Yes. And you kind of touched on verse 6 there of, you know, for in Christ, neither circumcision nor circumcision means anything but faith working through love. Yeah, there's that.
I think he's, I kind of got out of it that, I mean, he's talking about freedom from the law. Freedom allows you to get away from I have to's, or, you know, like you have to follow this and you have to follow that. Freedom. God wants you, you still have to follow God's word, but he wants you to do it through love, not the old rules of, you know, well, because you're not this, you're unable to do that. Like the rules say, you know, can I pick and choose what rules I want to? Well, he's saying, no, you can't. If you're going to follow the rules, then you have to follow all of them. And if, you know, but we don't want you to be restrained from that slavery, because that's not what Jesus wants us to do. That's why he gave us the freedom to choose and find love.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that refutes the idea of, you know, their idea of the law, and you're saying that they are saved by faith. There's no man-made thing that's going to save you. We're actually cruising right along. I'm a little behind in my notes here. And I think we've kind of touched on a couple of these following questions here too. So question five here asks, through what means Are we waiting for the hope of righteousness? What contrast might this verse be making, considered immediate preceding and following context? So by or through what means are we waiting for the hope of righteousness?
Faith working through love?
Yes. Faith working through love. So by faith, and well, in my notes I say by faith and through the Spirit. Those are the two things that are helping. And by faith through love, yes. So through the Spirit, this means that it's not through human effort or legalistic rule following that we look forward to righteousness. It's the Holy Spirit working in us, empowering, sanctifying, and sustaining us in our hope. The Spirit is the source of spiritual life, assurance, and transformation as we wait. So through the Spirit, we are waiting for the hope of righteousness. And by faith, we do not receive the fullness of righteousness by what we do, but by trusting in what Christ has done already. Faith is here. Faith here is the confident trust in God's promise to justify and ultimately glorify us. We don't receive the fullness of righteousness by what we do, but by trusting in what Christ has already done. That's a little heavy because that goes back to what Carol was talking about good works. No, it's not what you do. I mean, what you do plays a role, but that's not how you save yourself. It's not by me just standing up here talking to you guys. Okay, I've done my good deed for the week. I've done this class. I'm good. I read a scripture. I led a prayer. I'm doing my works, I'm good. Is that gonna, in the end, when I face God, what is it gonna say?
Well, that attitude's not gonna be easy, I can tell you that.
Exactly.
We can't have that attitude. We're to serve the Lord, and He dies for our sins. And that's the point that Paul's making, is Jesus died for your sins. You're not under the bondage of the old law. You don't have to be circumcised to become a Christian. You are baptized into Christ for remission of sins, and you have the graces. And it's a lot simpler than it was in those days, because we don't have to make sacrifices. We make sacrifices, but not bulls and goats and all that.
And no,
we should
our
be honored to make the sacrifice for Christ.
Our ultimate sacrifice was when Christ died for us. So yeah, we don't have to do those sacrifices. He has given us that hope for eternal life by being our ultimate sacrifice for us. Absolutely. And yeah, it's just,
I just think being able to talk to God in prayer is a privilege.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely. I believe me, this, I've been doing that quite a bit. Like, there's been a lot of things that have come up in my life recently that I've been needing some guidance, I've been needing some advice on, because I didn't really know what to do. A lot of different things. I mean, you know, I was always told, the military, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. Just like me, I have this plan of, I'm supposed to leave in September, but I might be leaving in June now. And I was supposed to be doing a National Guard contract. I might be going active duty. That was a shock to me. That was something that I had to process. And I pray to God about it, and I try to figure it all out, but you know, life sometimes comes up, and prayer is a powerful thing.
It is.
It absolutely is. So that was That was some news that I was never expecting to get, and now I'm trying to navigate it and figure it all out. And then there's also this uncertainty of if I am going to go or if I'm not going to. They told me that they'll have an answer for me maybe at the end of this month, maybe at the beginning of next month. They don't have a sense. My recruiter literally told me he does not have a solid answer. So I'm in this limbo state. What do I do?
You pray.
Absolutely. You pray.
Pray a lot. Pray a lot.
Absolutely. So we went through question five there. So question six asks, according to verse six, what is not any significance in Christ Jesus? What is of significance? So somebody want to read verse six for us?
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. What they were doing was Christ died to give them freedom, right? The Jews. Now, the Gentiles accepted that, but then the Jews came back and said, no, you have to keep part of the old law. Well, that's a slap in the face for Christ. They're rejecting what he did. They're going back to the old, trying to become a myth. You can't do that because Jesus died. He gave his life to get the freedom for the people. And they're not taking it 100%. They're adding something to it. And that's what he's telling them. Don't do that. Faith is
right. Absolutely. They were trying to justify. Oh, Lenny?
We looked at this in the second chapter of verse 2. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And what's happening is these false teachers are coming in and binding the law on these individuals. And they are forgetting the sacrifice that Jesus made for them unconditionally. And that's what this verse tells us. Faith working through love is how we as Christians are supposed to love others unconditionally, as Christ loved us.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were still trying to justify their faith by external religious statutes and rituals, which is not the case. That's not how we're saved. Carol.
Yeah, it brings to mind to me John 13:34, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you love one another. Now, there's nothing new about loving your neighbor and loving one another. It's even as I have loved you. The sacrifice and the love is what is most important in what we're talking about, not law, but the Spirit of God and the love of God is what's important.
Absolutely. Yeah, I even have that in my notes. It's like, what is significant here is that one part of only faith working through love is going to help us. That means that you need to have true faith in Jesus, which then it expresses itself with love. And that's a sign of someone who belongs to Christ. Not outward rules. It's not outward rules. But it's the inward transformation that flows outward. And Paul's going to really sound like a broken record. And honestly, when I was going through this study and going through my notes and stuff, I honestly would sound like a broken record too, of He just keeps telling them that these rituals, that these external things that you do is changed on the outside is not going to save you. You're not going to be saved by this law. And honestly, I've said it many times already at this point that it's not going to save you. And Paul says it many times in this chapter that it's not going to save you, that it's going to be faith that saves you. I'm really going to hammer that home today, that faith is going to save you. It's nothing else is going to save the other. So moving on to question 7. We'll read verses 7 through 12.
You ran well who hindered you from obeying the truth. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off.
So now, looking at question 7 here, what question does Paul ask the Galatians in verse 7? What were they clearly not doing?
They weren't obeying the truth.
Yeah.
They had the truth, and then they went back to the untruth.
Yeah, I mentioned this before. He's saying here that the Galatians started out very strong. They started strong in their faith journey. You know, they trust the gospel of grace. But then someone has cut in on them, tripping them up.
We were talking at first about false teachers. And when the truth, when I was studying, this made so much sense. And because I went to a lot of different congregations and stuff, and I thought, it just didn't make sense to me. And when I was studying with my friends Linda and Cheryl, it just, not that I understood everything, because believe me, I do not. And I had a lot of false notions because I had to study the way. And it just makes sense. The truth is what we're after, not falsehood.
Absolutely. It's really important. I found that out too when I would, ever so often I go and visit other churches because I just want to see how other things are being done out there. And there was one that I went to that I was just, it was kind of like the analogy that I put up earlier. If you're going just because you think the preacher's funny, this guy had a sense of humor. Tons of people were laughing. He was grasping them with his humor. But I'll tell you what he was teaching was absolute blasphemy. It was, I don't know where he was getting half of his stuff that he was talking about, but it was like he had his own Bible, his own ideas written down, and was saying, oh, this is the truth. And yes, they had false teachers come in and start telling them other things to do. And Paul just called them out here going like, you were so strong and then you fell away. What happened? And some of us can be like that today where we're very strong in our faith and then one thing happens and it trips us up. It makes us stumble, it makes us fall. But how do we get back? Let it.
Through Jesus obedience, we have to repent from those things and get out life back in the right course. And that's what he's encouraging the Galatians to do. Look, you guys obeyed the gospel. You listen. You understand the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And you accepted that. Now you have to run the race and take all this clutter away from the gospel message. And that's the same thing we have to deal with today in our life. We have to keep the world away from our thoughts that controls us. The only thing that should control us is our obedience to the gospel.
Absolutely. And in our day and age, it is so easy for these worldly ideas to come into our lives because of the technology we have nowadays. News is given to us straight away. We don't have to wait to hear something. We don't have to wait to hear what's happening in our world. Because of how easily it is accessible to us, that makes it easier for people to fall away, especially people who are trying to find the truth. They hear all these different names that all these other preachers are preaching out, all these other people are posting on social media. They read that, and they're so easily influenced by it because they don't know it. But like Lenny said, is if we're pulled away like that, then we need to realign ourselves. And if we notice that some of us are falling away, we can help each other, help encourage each other, and help realign ourselves with Christ. I bet you anybody here, if you're struggling, they're willing to help you out. And if they can't help you out in that moment, they'll find something to help you out. And we need to help the new Christians in faith, the younger Christians, to help them figure it out. Because there are some who have been baptized here recently that they don't have a background with this growing up. What they're learning is what we're teaching them now and their own studies that they've done. So we need to make sure that we're an encouragement to them and help them not fall into whatever was being taught out there now. Because there's a lot of people that are trying to pull us away, that want to see us fall, that want to see us fail, especially when they find out that you are a Christian. They're going to try everything they can to see you break and to see you fall. They want to see that happen. And we can't let that happen. Again, if you're struggling with something, you know, you can come to anybody here. And like I said, if they don't have the answer, if they can't help you in that moment, they will find somebody to help you. They will find somebody who has that answer. So that was my 5-minute mark. I think we got time for one more question. So we'll go down to question 8. It says, considering the preceding and following context, what is the persuasion Paul seems to be referencing in verse 8?
Well, it says this persuasion did not come from him who called you, which it means we're talking about the persuasion that's coming from the Jewish people or the Jewish Christians, one of the two, and that are requiring circumcision and other things.
Yeah, in my notes, that's what I have. I said this persuasion refers to the influence of teaching that caused the Galatians to veer away from the truth of the gospel, specifically the legalistic idea that obedience to the Mosaic law, like circumcision, is necessary for salvation. And you can see that based on the context of verse 7 and then even verse 9 afterwards. You know, verse 7 saying, you were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Someone messed up their understanding of the gospel. And then this verse saying, this persuasion is not from him who calls him. He's saying that this is the false teaching. It's not from God, the one who called them by grace. And then verse 9 there says, a little leaven live as a whole lump. Even a small amount of false teaching can corrupt the whole message. You know, you mess up one small part of what you're teaching, you can throw somebody's mind off for years. I know growing up, we were taught, it was when Saul ran out of the cave. He was scared and ran out of the cave. I was told when I was a kid, there was a spider that scared him out of the cave. That's why he ran. And I went with that story for years.
You believed it.
I believed it. I mean, I was 4 or 5 when I was told that. And then one day I was talking to my, I think I was 9 or 10, and I was talking to my dad about it. My dad was like, who told you that? Where'd you get that from? I was like, no, I was in one of my Bible classes when I was a kid. And he told me that he's like, no, that's not the case. And then he brought me to the verse, talked it out with me. But you see how something small like that can just throw you off. And I, like I said, it was like 4 or 5 when I was taught it, and then it was 9 or 10 when I found the truth. There can be years between when you're told something false to actually finding the truth. It can be years. And we need to make sure that we're helping each other out. Like me, if I said anything in this class that was like, I don't think he got that right, or that doesn't sound right, come talk to me about it. Come let me know where I messed up. I would like to know where I messed up, because I don't want to lead any of you astray. I don't want to say something that messes up what God has given us, messes up God's teaching. And I think many of us are open to that. If we mess up, someone calls. You can be open and honest with me. I'll only hold a grudge for a little bit. I think that's a good stopping point there. I'll let Dean know where we ended off. We ended off there. We ended off at question 8, so verse 8 there. Oh, man. I was hoping to at least get through half the chapter, but I did not do that, so I'll let him know that. But thank you for being part of this class.